Before we get into this episode, we have a quick favor to ask you. If you love our show, please scroll down to the review section of your favorite podcast platform and leave us a 5-star rating. If you have a few more seconds, please also leave us a review telling us what you like most about our show. We read every single one of these and we appreciate them so much. This will also help us grow and get into the ears of those who love true crime and food as much as you do. Thanks and enjoy the episode.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You're listening to Extra Cheese by your friends at Dietetics After Dark.
Tomorrow, why not pick up several packages of the best tasting pasteurized processed cheese?
Hey everyone, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Becca. Welcome back to Extra Cheese.
We're back. We took a little bit of a break while we wrapped up our coursework, but we're officially back with your bi-weekly sprinkle of Extra Cheese. And we have an exciting new addition to the Extra Cheese episode today. So stay tuned till the end to hear what it is. Okay, so I have the story today, and it's really sad. So prepare yourself.
Okay.
But it's important to share, I think, because it shows how scary severe allergies can be. Even though I think people like to joke about allergies sometimes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do, unfortunately.
Yeah, but they are very serious, and this story is a bit of a wake-up call. And I'm going to reference the article after I tell the story because the headline spoils literally the entire thing. So in 2013, 27-year-old Chantelle Giacalone was modeling in a fashion show at the Mandalay Bay South Convention Center in Las Vegas. And her friend brought her a frozen yogurt with a bite-sized peanut butter-infused pretzel on top. Sounds delicious.
It does. My mouth just watered.
And I'm guessing that it just looked like a regular pretzel and didn't have any visible peanut butter flavoring or coating because despite having a severe peanut allergy, Giacalone took a bite. Mm. And almost immediately, she goes into anaphylactic shock. Because it was a fashion show and there was a large crowd there, there were medics on the scene from a company called Medic West Ambulance, and she went to them right away to seek help. However, they were unable to treat her properly, and her brain was deprived of oxygen for several minutes, leaving her with severe brain damage.
Oh, that's so tragic.
It's so tragic. She was 27, so young. Giacalone is now a quadriplegic and can only communicate with her eyes and must eat through a feeding tube.
Poor girl.
It's so scary. So, Becca, you have allergies. How does it feel to hear this story?
I mean, obviously, it's terrifying. Luckily for me, my allergies are more like skin related and whatnot. Like, I'll get hives. But yeah, obviously, it's terrifying. It's just a very unfortunate circumstance. Like, it just seems like nobody was really prepared in the situation to deal with an allergic reaction.
Absolutely. And I think what struck me about this story is that even as someone who studies nutrition and kind of understands allergies more than most people, I haven't really heard of a case of brain damage from an allergy. They feel very treatable. You know, people have their EpiPen and they carry it on them and they're prepared and it should be okay as long as you're vigilant.
Yeah. And there are medics.
And there are medics
as well.
There.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. It's shocking. Okay. So on April 9th, 2021, so just about a week ago, Giacalone's family was awarded $29.5 million by a Las Vegas court because the judge determined that the medical team was negligent in treating her.
Wow.
Yes. So apparently they didn't have any IV epinephrine on site, which is the treatment for severe anaphylactic shock. And it's actually legally required that that IV epinephrine is with the medics. So it was an oversight.
Okay.
They did have intramuscular epinephrine, so that would be like an EpiPen, mm-hmm. and they did administer it, but because her allergy was so severe and her anaphylaxis had already progressed to a certain extent, it wasn't enough.
Oh no. Do they know how long it took her to find the medics?
It didn't say a specific amount of time, but I did read sources that said immediately. Oh. So like right away she knew
mm-hmm, of course.
That she'd consumed peanuts and she must have maybe known where the medic tent was and just went right there.
Mm-hmm.
And it still wasn't enough. So $29.5 million, though, is a good sum of money. The Giacalone family says they'll use the money to outfit their home better to fit Chantel's needs, including installing a special shower. And the family will also make a foundation for people suffering from similar brain injuries. So yeah, that's the story today.
That's a downer. That's such a downer.
I know, it's super sad. I got most of that information from an article from health.com called "This Model Was Left with Brain Damage After Eating a Peanut Butter-Infused Pretzel. Here's How That Can Happen" by Corinne Miller.
All I'm thinking right now is how upset and guilty that friend must have felt.
I know. I know. That was what I thought about too. And so I did some sleuthing and you can find who it was. Her name is out there, but I didn't want to mention it because no. I'm sure she feels so bad.
Yeah. And it's not her fault at
she
all.
She didn't know about the allergy.
Okay. So she didn't know about the allergy. She likely didn't know about the peanut mm-hmm. in the froyo anyways. So
totally.
It's just, oy.
Really sad. And something else that came up for me, like, so I spent years as a server and bartender and served many people with allergies.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they could be taken more seriously and that servers and bartenders should have better training for serving people with allergies.
100%. This is an area where I feel very passionate about because, mm-hmm. oh, Rosie also feels passionate about it. But as somebody who has worked as a server, but who also has an allergy, you mm-hmm. don't really get, or at least like, what was this? I like 10 years ago when I was a server, mm-hmm. you didn't really get much training in what to do when somebody presents themselves saying that they have an allergy, but you also weren't really told what to do if somebody had an allergic reaction.
No training at all.
No training.
Like we would serve people that would come in and they'd be like, hey, I'm allergic to these four things. And what I had to say, what I would respond is we have all those things in our kitchen and mm-hmm. we can't guarantee that it'll be allergy safe, but we can do our best.
Yeah.
And all that I would do is run to the back, tell the chef, well, I would, when I ordered it on the computer, you would flag, let's say peanut allergy. Mm-hmm. Then you run to the back, tell the chef, be like, hey, this is a peanut allergy. But we were an extremely busy kitchen mm-hmm. that had peanuts in open air. So how safe could it really be?
Yeah. No, I do like the way that you phrase that though, because again, as somebody who has intolerances and allergies, one mm-hmm. of the most mortifying things for me personally when I'm eating out is when a server asks, is that an allergy or like, is it an allergy or a preference? Because it just, it has been asked so many times and it's just like, it just kind of feels like an invasion of privacy, first of all. You yeah. shouldn't really be asking somebody if they have an allergy unless mm-hmm. they offer that information. And also the whole allergy or preference, which mm-hmm. is asked all the time, I feel like it's missing a whole other range of issues.
Intolerances.
Like, yeah, you have intolerances there. Like, I don't know, maybe I don't want to my pants the next day. And like, I don't want to have to say that when I'm at a table with other people.
Absolutely.
And it's just, it feels like it's kind of an invasion of privacy. So I do really like and appreciate the way that you phrase that, because I do think that it should be kind of rephrased to say something like, we can't ensure that our food is completely free of X, Y, and Z. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Or something along those lines.
I'm so surprised to hear that people ask you that. Like, all so directly. That is so
time.
Also laced with judgment and mm-hmm. like disbelief and are you really allergic
mm-hmm.
kind of energy. That's not cool. And then like, just to talk about, I guess, the other side is, I guess, this rise of people like thinking that they have intolerances and saying they have an allergy, which creates that skepticism, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to sound mean, but like, I had one person come in, I remember, and just say that they're allergic to spices. And I was like, oh, any in particular? And they're just like, all the spices. And I was like, well, we use so many. I cannot guarantee that nothing will have like, do you mean even black pepper? They were just like, yeah, all the spices. And I doubt that they were allergic to all spices.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I think they had a preference. And it's like extremely hard for a really busy kitchen to adapt to everyone's preferences.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, some restaurants will just say, no, we don't adapt to preferences.
And you know what? As again, like, I feel like I would appreciate that more than being kind of like probed for questions and stuff. I don't know. I feel like that's a better way to go about it. If you can't guarantee it, be upfront about it.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's so stressful. And I also remember one time I was serving just around this time that there was a case in Montreal where a server got sued for serving someone with a fish allergy salmon in a dimly lit restaurant so that they couldn't see that it was salmon, apparently. I don't know how they didn't smell that it was salmon, but I'm not here to judge. But the server was held liable for serving the dish to someone that had an allergy, which scared it scared me so much because I was serving at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, I like read that news article that morning and then I went to work and I was like, oh my gosh. And then I had this woman sit in my section and she had like 7 allergies. And so I gave her my spiel, we can't guarantee. And then at the end, I asked her, I was like, do you have an EpiPen just in case? And she walked out. She was really not happy that I had asked her that. And I was like, well, it's like, I'm liable if something happens and I just want to make sure. And she walked out. So I guess that's a little bit, maybe an invasion of privacy, but I also think it scared her.
For sure.
But I thought it was a fair question at the time.
No, you know what? It's tough because it's a balance, right? Like, you want to balance somebody's privacy, but you also don't want to be, you don't want to injure somebody or be liable for it.
Oh my gosh, no. That's so scary.
Yeah, it's tough. And I think that new protocols just need to kind of roll out in terms of how to deal mm-hmm. with allergies.
Yes, serious training. Okay, so that was a bit of a tangent, but we also have something else really exciting for our mm-hmm. extra cheese this week. So in our episode about MLMs and the gifting tables, I told you about a rare condition called pine mouth. You remember that?
Of course I remember.
It's a type of dysgeusia or taste alteration that occurs after someone eats pine nuts. And it lasts for about 2 to 4 weeks. And the pine nut, the person who ate the pine nuts will have an intensely bitter or metallic taste in their mouth whenever they eat something. And so we actually had a gentleman named Paolo, an Italian listener and fellow podcaster of the podcast Thoughts on the Table, reach out to us and send us his personal experience with pine mouth syndrome. So let's check it out.
I'm excited.
Hi, Beck and Sarah. This is Paolo. I'm one of your listeners. And yes, you, in a recent episode, talked about a strange thing that happens to some people after they eat pine nuts. They experience a strange alteration of their sense of taste, so that everything tastes metallic. And that's obviously awful. Well, I experienced something similar, though it's not exactly the same. But I thought I'd mention it to you because it may be interesting. So what happened to me was about 10 years ago, so my memory is a little bit blurry. What I remember is one day I woke up and my food tasted funny. So I started with breakfast, milk and cookies. That's how I have my breakfast. And it wasn't good. So I thought something wrong with the milk, or I don't know what happened here. So I tried something else, but it also wasn't good. After a while, I also compared with my wife, and it was clear there was something with me, not something with the food. And then I remembered that the day before, I had something unusual for me. So back then, I was living in Vancouver, where I lived for 18 years. So I was kind of in the middle of my time in Vancouver. And the day before, I had a lot of pine nuts. I bought pine nuts in bulk, I remember that, in a big supermarket. And I used them to make pesto, because I had got a hold of some basil, which was actually very good. And then, because I had a lot of pine nuts, I also used them in a salad. So these pine nuts were a bit unusual for me there in Vancouver. Though growing up in Italy, I did have pine nuts frequently in pesto, in strudel, and in other preparations, and I never noticed anything strange. But that time, I figured it was the pine nuts, because, again, it was the only thing that was unusual. Then I went on and researched it a little bit. I did a search, and I found that a lot of people were describing my exact same symptoms. So there was, back then, this was before social media, we had forums and people were chatting about this. So I posted my message. It was kind of a support group, really. And they said that my pine nuts might have been contaminated with some kind of a toxin or a poison. It's not clear exactly what it is, but certainly I wasn't the only one experiencing this. So what were the symptoms for me? At that point, I started to pay attention exactly to the alteration of flavor that I was experiencing. For me, it was the exaggeration or the accentuation of bitterness in food. It was like 10 times the strength of normal bitterness, to the point that I was now noticing that there was bitterness in food that I never thought was there in the first place. For instance, a toast, just toasted bread, tasted awful. But, I don't know, plain water out of the tap was okay. I didn't taste anything strange in water. Also, I could have a teaspoon of sugar, just plain sugar, and that was also okay. But, you know, if I tried to have some bread, oh, there was something there that I couldn't stand. And this went on for 2 weeks, so it was awful. Every day, I remember, I would wake up and try a test, go taste a piece of bread, hoping that it would be less than the day before. But sure enough, it was the same, and it went on and on and on, until one day, yes, it was a bit better, and it had started to leave my system, and then eventually it went away, and I never experienced it again. To be honest, I was a little bit wary of pine nuts, so I hadn't been eating pine nuts for several months after that. But after a while, I tried again. This time, I didn't go to the bulk section. I don't know if it's anything to do with that, but I went for the more expensive kind. But anyway, it never happened again. And I today still have them from time to time. Still a little bit concerned, but nothing has happened again. So hopefully my story will resonate with someone who experienced something similar. Alteration of flavor is extremely interesting to me. So thanks for bringing this up in your episode. And I look forward to hearing more about this topic, if you will ever discuss it in a future episode. Thank you again. It was a pleasure talking with you, and best of luck with everything.
Paulo, thank you so much for sharing that story with us. It sounds truly terrible.
So terrible. That's such a long time to have metallic taste in
Absolutely.
Your mouth.
And all he could really have was water and plain sugar.
Kool-Aid.
Who knows? 3 weeks? Yeah. So I actually did a little more research on what some of the leading theories are about why pine mouth occurs.
Ooh.
And it's really interesting. So have you ever heard of a super taster?
No. Are those like taste buds, receptors?
It's a type of person basically that has really sensitive taste.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a person, like a superpower.
Yes, absolutely. So there's this compound called PTC, which stands for phenylthiocarbamide. And there are basically two types of people in the world. Those who think that PTC tastes insanely bitter and unpalatable and just gross. And those who think it's just slightly bitter and virtually tasteless. There's also a similar compound called propylthiouracil, or PROP, that produces the exact same effect. So some taste it as super, super bitter and some barely taste it. And this ability to taste both PROP and PTC is coded for by a single gene, the TAS2R38 gene. So there are two main forms of this gene called alleles. So you can either have the tasting allele, which is the dominant allele.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have that, then you're considered a taster or a super taster. And if you have the non-tasting allele, which is the recessive one, then you're a non-taster. And you can also actually be a medium taster, which is a little bit poorly understood on a genetic level, but it puts you somewhere in the middle of the two.
Okay. I have a quick question. And
yes.
I don't know if you found this in your research.
Mm-hmm.
Cilantro.
Not the same gene.
Not the same gene. Okay.
No. And neither is tonic.
Interesting.
Okay. So approximately 25% of Americans are non-tasters. 50% are medium tasters and 25% are super tasters, which means that the bitterness will be more pronounced.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah, that's a huge percent of the population.
I know. 1 in 4 are super tasters. So you can test if you're a super taster by actually getting something called PTC strips, and then you taste them, see how bitter they are to you. But you also might already know because you probably find certain foods really bitter. So anything in the cabbage family is really common, like kale, broccoli, cauliflower, and cabbage. Coffee, celery, and collard greens will all likely taste super bitter to you. So that's why a lot of super tasters are actually pretty picky eaters.
Oh, that's so interesting. I'm definitely not a super taster.
Me either. People who drink coffee and also people who smoke cigarettes typically like are absolutely not super tasters, and it'll dull their taste buds as well.
Mm, other end of the spectrum.
Yeah. Okay, so bringing it back to pine mouth, one theory is that it occurs in individuals that are homozygous for the taster alleles on the TAS2R38 gene. So that means they have two of the same dominant taster allele. Because the taster allele is dominant, you might still be a super taster if you have the heterozygous configuration, so a taster and a non-taster allele, but you wouldn't be more susceptible to pine mouth in theory. And again, this is just a theory and it's actually based off a single case study, so it's really not confirmed by any stretch. And then also, in terms of how long pine mouth lasts, it's about 2 to 4 weeks, and that's similar to the turnover rate for the taste cells on our tongue.
Oh, that's so interesting.
That makes sense, right? So the resolution of pine mouth might actually occur just because your taste buds are regenerating.
That's fascinating. Okay. Do you remember in, I think it was, wait, you didn't take physiology.
I took the second
more
part.
More recent. Oh, you did. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think we learned, was it every 7 or 14 years, all of your cells have regenerated?
I don't know, but that is so cool.
There's a certain number of years where, like, after that point, you'll have completely different cells from, like, 14 years ago. Maybe I'll insert a quick fact check. Okay, confirmed. It's 7 to 10 years. So between 7 and 10 years, all of your cells will have regenerated in your body.
Whoa.
You're technically a completely different person.
That is trippy.
Isn't that so trippy?
That's cool, though.
Sometimes I wonder why I can't remember things that happened in high school, and I feel like that's probably why.
Because all your cells are... I don't have any of my high school cells left. Oh, my goodness.
They're
that is
gone.
So cool. All right. That is it for today's episode. Pretty interesting, eh?
Yeah. Some really fascinating, thought-provoking, sad topics, but all very relevant and important.
Totally. So if you actually have a weird or interesting food story that you'd like to share on the podcast, we would love to hear it. So you can email us at dietetics.afterdark@gmail.com and we'll get you featured on our next Extra Cheese.
We can look into it for you, figure out maybe why it happened. I really love how you did that breakdown, Sarah.
Yeah, we'll do some research for you.
Sounds good.
It'll be fun. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Extra Cheese. You can find all the references in our show notes at dietetics.afterdark.com. This is an independently produced podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, we would love it if you could rate, review, and subscribe to our show. And if you have an interesting food story and you'd like to ask us some nutrition questions and be featured on the podcast, email us at dieteticsafterdark@gmail.com. To stay up to date with Dietetics After Dark, follow us on Instagram at Dietetics After Dark or on Twitter at It's the Dad Pod. This podcast is recorded and edited by Earworm Radio. We highly recommend their services for all your podcasting needs. Learn more about Earworm Radio at earwormradio.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.